Fasten your seatbelt and turn up the radio. We're going on a road trip. Early childhood development programs are rarely portrayed as economic development initiatives, and we think that is a mistake. Such programs, if they appear at all, are at the bottom of the economic development lists for state and local governments. We think they should be at the top. Those are the introductory words of a study published by the Federal Reserve Bank of Minneapolis, a study whose authors argue that it is more important for our shared economic prosperity for state and local governments to spend money on education for preschoolers than to spend that money to attract new corporate headquarters or to build new sports stadiums. I'm Glenn Moberg, and today on Route 51, we welcome one of the study's authors, economist Rob Grunewald, in a panel discussion that previews a forum that's happening next week in Wausau, Baby Business, the Dollars and Cents of Investing in Working Parents. Joining Rob in the first part of our program, Kelly Borchard, the Executive Director of Child Caring Incorporated, and Laura Hunt, an independent communications and marketing consultant who is also a parent of two young children. Later in the program, we'll hear from Jim McIntyre, the president and CEO of the Greenheck Group, and Deanna Schutte, the Community Impact Director of the United Way of Marathon County. For the next hour, we'll be talking about evidence that suggests early childhood education is vital to America's and central Wisconsin's future, that it pays off in terms of the skills and earning potential of our workforce, and also in reduced costs for social problems like crime, incarceration, and welfare. And we're going to ask this question. In an election year where every politician is willing to talk about family values, why are so few of them willing to push programs and initiatives that actually help those families and their young children? If any of this touches a chord with you, we want to hear from you. Give us a call at 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. Or you can put a comment on the Route 51 Facebook page, and I will read it live on the air. And before we get started, that forum, Baby Business, the Dollars and Cents of Investing in Working Parents, it takes place the morning of Wednesday, February 10th, at the UW Center for Civic Engagement here on the UW Marathon County campus in Wausau. You can register on the website of the United Way of Marathon County, or you can give them a call at 715-848-2927. That number again is 848-2927. The forum is sponsored by the Marathon County Early Years Coalition, the Wisconsin Institute for Public Policy and Service, the Wausau Region Chamber of Commerce, and, of course, by Wisconsin Public Radio. So, Kelly and Laura, thanks for being with us here in the studio. And, Rob, thank you for joining us by phone. I assume you're in Minneapolis this morning?
I sure am. Great to be here.
Rob, you're an economist with the Federal Reserve Bank, and as an economic analyst, why would someone like you be interested in something like child care and early childhood education?
Well, the Federal Reserve is interested in looking at how economies grow and what those core ingredients of economic growth are. And in the United States and throughout the world, we see that those economies that have productive workforces have strong economies and strong economic growth and also higher per capita income levels. And the story about building skills and workforce quality starts very early in life. And when we wrote that report that you quoted in the beginning of the segment here back in 2003, Art Rolnick, our director of research at the time, and myself began to realize that to build a strong workforce in the future, it's very important to begin before children arrive at kindergarten.
Why is it so important to start so early? You know, I'm sure there are people listening who are saying, "I didn't have that when I was young. Why don't you let kids be kids?"
Well, the first few years of life are a sensitive period for development. There's tremendous growth in a child's brain, and by the time they reach the age of four, about 90% of the architecture of the brain is formed. So the environments which children are growing up in are going to affect that development. So if children are exposed to lots of vocabulary words and they have support with their parents in their homes to engage their environment and also to play with other children, that these are the type of experiences that prepare children for school. But many children do face adversity early on. There are children who grow up in poverty, may have had some exposure to violence or neglect in their growing up. And what neuroscience shows us is this actually impairs that healthy development. And when children arrive at kindergarten not ready for school and they're behind their peers, what we see is that they tend to stay behind.
But this paper is not just arguing that this is good for children and good for their parents. You're arguing that it's good for society as a whole, and that investments in this, and we're talking a lot of money, we're talking, you know, potentially hundreds of millions of dollars, that this will actually pay off in terms of the economy being able to produce more than that in future tax revenues. How do you come to that kind of a conclusion?
Well, in the early childhood research, there are four long-term studies that have been able to look at the impact of a high-quality preschool program or full-day child care program with educational enrichment. Also, there's a study of a home visiting program where a registered nurses counseled at-risk families that were just about to have a baby. And what these four studies are able to do is track the participants who receive these services into adulthood compared with a comparison group, a well-controlled design where they have a control group. And what they found over time is that for these programs that were targeted to families and children who are in more disadvantaged environments, that the kids performed better in school and they were less likely to require special education. By the time they graduated from high school and they were more likely to go on and get more education, they earned more money in the workforce, they paid more in taxes, less likely to commit crimes, there's reductions in crime costs, and also reduced need for social services. So across these four studies, on an annual basis over the lifetime of the benefits of these programs, they range from 7% annually up to as high as 20% annually. So very strong rates of return.
Now, let me quote some of the statistics in one of these studies that was in your paper. It's the Perry Preschool in Ypsilanti, Michigan, in which low-income African-American children were given early childhood education and care. 65% of that group graduated high school compared with 45% in the general population. At the age of 27, four times as many of the program participants as the non-participants earned $2,000 or more per month. So conceivably they're paying tax revenue out of that money. And only one-fifth as many program participants were arrested five times or more by the age of 27.
That's correct. So that in that study, they conducted a randomized trial back in the 1960s. And so from that, they could really compare, really study the impact of that program. And the children who did participate in the preschool program by the age of 40, they noted the benefits that you summarized there. They're also more likely to own their own homes, and they had stronger family stability by the age of 40. So all of these benefits add up in that study. It's been as high as $16 returned for every dollar invested.
And we're also,
most of that's accruing to the taxpayer, to the non-participants of the program.
But we're also talking about a safer society. Conceivably, you have fewer people engaging in criminal behavior. They're not filling up our jails and prisons, which are very expensive. And we've got a safer country then, because people can go about their business without being in fear quite so much of being a victim of crime if you take care of some of these problems in the early childhood years, at least. That seems to be the implication of these studies, Rob.
That's true. And, in fact, there's a group of sheriffs and police officers that have been advocating for investments in early programs, also after-school programs as well, but they're recognizing that if kids get off to a strong start, that makes their work easier in the long run.
And again, this is all going to be discussed in a public forum. Rob is going to be there on the morning of February 10th. That's a Wednesday morning here on the UW Marathon County campus. It's called Baby Business, the public forum, and you've got a link to the information right now on our Route 51 Facebook page. Also, if you'd like to leave a comment on that page, I'll get it to our panelists. Let's bring in Kelly Borchard right now. You're the Executive Director of Child Caring Incorporated. Tell us what that is and what you do.
Right. Thank you, Glenn. Child care resource and referral agencies like Child Caring have been around since the mid-70s in Wisconsin. And Child Caring is one of 10 resource and referral agencies throughout the state of Wisconsin that help families find child care. And we're a support service to area child care programs, in a nutshell.
And you've grown quite a bit. You had a budget of about $100,000 10 years ago, and you've grown to $1.2 million today, and that's pretty significant. Why did that happen?
Well, that happened as a result of some reorganization among some agencies back in 2008 and 9 when the economy wasn't so great. There was some reorganization, and then about 5 years ago, the state of Wisconsin Department of Children and Families decided that it was time to support a quality rating system for child care providers called Young Star, and that added, you know, a lot more money to the field and to our services.
And what areas do you cover? You cover much of central Wisconsin. Give me some of the counties that you operate in.
Right. Adams, Clark, Marathon, Marquette, Washera, Langlade, Lincoln, Taylor, Wood, Portage.
That's a big chunk of our listening area right there. Now, you've been in the child care field for over 25 years. You've got a bachelor's degree in education from UW Stevens Point. And according to your biography, you've been a child care center cook, a teacher of three-year-olds, and an early childhood consultant. So you're not just managing a referral organization. You've been there with your shirt sleeves rolled up, taking care of this problem hands-on.
Right, and I also was, you know, I have a parent, I'm a parent myself and had to go through the struggles of finding child care when my children were young as well, and have, you know, talked with hundreds of providers over the years and parents who are dealing with these situations with child care.
What do you think of Rob Grunewald's study?
I think Rob's study is right on. I think it's the things that, you know, as a person that has a degree in education that we learned about in college, and just the struggles that we have, though, is why doesn't everybody understand that? Why doesn't everybody understand the importance of good early childhood care and education? And why isn't there more support from businesses or public or government to help, you know, with these issues?
Well, you know, governments are slashing budgets all across the board, and they're slashing budgets for kindergarten through 12 education, and $250 million just slashed from the University of Wisconsin budget. Isn't it a little bit unrealistic for you to assume that they're suddenly going to come up with money for child education, given what's been happening?
Sure. I mean, right, so maybe it is a pie-in-the-sky kind of outlook on that. I think about it in terms of, you know, parents are having 60% they have to pay 60% of the cost of child care today. $150 to $200 a week is not unusual for one child in care. And so families are paying $15,000 to $20,000 a year for child care costs when they have a couple of kids in care. And then we look at the flip side of those child care providers in group child care centers. Those teachers are making $8 or $9 an hour. It's a real struggle. It's a real issue in our field.
Let me look at some statistics right now. This is in a study by a group called Ready Nation. And the statistics for center-based child care, it's one of the highest budget items for families. In the Midwest, $17,733 the average family would pay for child care in one of these preschool centers. $16,000 for housing is what they'd pay. $9,167 for college tuition, $8,954 for transportation, $6,749 for food, and $4,223 for health care. Rob Grunewald, we talk about the high cost of health care, but these statistics indicate that center-based child care is more than four times as expensive as that for the average family, according to this particular study.
It's true. You know, often compared to tuition at a public university, a family will be paying more for child care tuition. And so it's choices that families have to make, and they can be difficult ones. So, you know, in order to have both parents or all parents in their workforce, and how to tend their child care arrangements. But programs like YoungStar in Wisconsin that are able to help improve the quality of child care and also provide information to parents about how to shop for child care can help that market work better and provide a better quality. And certainly making sure that our child care subsidy systems at the state level are providing support for lower-income families so that that makes child care more affordable. That's also a very important policy.
All right, here are the statistics for states. Wisconsin is the ninth worst state in the nation for affordable center-based care for four-year-olds. We are the second worst state in the nation for affordable center-based before and after school care for school-age children. Laura Hunt, you're the parent of two small children. You've tried to get child care in Wittenberg, where you live. What's that like?
Well, yes, Glenn. I have a two-year-old daughter and a son who just turned one. And as I'm listening to, you know, the exorbitant cost of child care, I have to say this is if you're even lucky enough to find one of these centers and to be able to access it from where you live and to be able to get your children into one. If you're lucky enough, you can pay $20,000 a year to have a high-quality child care provider for your kids. I live in Wittenberg. I've been looking for child care for 2.5 years now. And in a rural community, which many listeners I would assume are, you know, you're very isolated from the resources of even Wausau. For me, it's would be about 70 miles a day to drive my children here. And at this point, I'm very willing to do it. I'm on wait lists for all of the top-rated care centers here. I think there are only, Kelly, correct me if I'm wrong, there are only 3 to 4 top-rated centers in our county.
There are about 7 to 8 4- or 5-star rated child care programs in Marathon County.
Mm-hmm. And about every single one of those, which I've called and visited, you're on a wait list for full-time care, and you can't even really consider a part-time care. That's what I would be looking for my kids. I really think it's important if you know, I have the luxury of being able to choose to work part-time. I was in the workforce for 10 years full-time.
You're a professional. You're an independent communications consultant. You're a video producer. You're a content creator. How has having two small kids affected your profession?
Profoundly, more than I ever could have imagined. You know, I really want to keep building my career, and I waited. You know, I'm in my 30s. I waited to have my kids to focus on building my career. And I find myself in a really untenable situation right now in terms of trying to keep it going while also spending time with my kids during what we now know is the most critical time in their life. You can even, you know, you can read the studies, but you can see it when you're with your kids every day that their brains are sponges at these first few years. So I am in that group of educated people that wants to keep a career going but need to not only be able to access this kind of care, to be able to afford it, and to be able to find a work opportunity that is family-friendly towards parents of young children and that is meaningful. That is a separate but related issue that proposes huge challenges. And I just want to make one more point. I realize that I'm in a really, really privileged position to be even faced with this challenge of trying to find the right balance. You know, I think 73% of families in Wisconsin have economically depend on both parents working, so full time. So most families don't even have this kind of choice.
People who are skeptics about all of this are going to say, I grew up back in the day, back in the 50s, when dad went to work and mom stayed home with the kids and read to them and took care of all of this stuff in the early preschool years. This is how we should be doing it today. We'd not only have a better family situation, a better society, better family values, but we'd save all of this money on these expensive child care centers. How do you respond to that?
Well, I respond in that we haven't kept up with where society has gone. I mean, at the statistic I just quoted, which is 73% of families in Wisconsin depend on both parents working, cost of living is so high right now in every state, but certainly in our state, most people don't have that choice. They cannot choose to have one parent stay at home and nurture the kids in a safe environment. But on the flip side of that, you know, women are now educated. They're getting, you know, they're half of the workforce. They're half of the master's degree programs. They're half of the law programs. Many women, even if they have the choice, don't want to opt out. They don't want to leave their kids, but they don't want to opt out of the workforce. I am certainly in that group, and I'm comfortable to say that I love my kids. I'd love to be with them 2 days a week if I could for the first year. I'd love to, you know, phase back into a full-time work environment. But I do want to keep my career going, and I do want to contribute to the workforce. I think that women in the workforce has had tremendous economic impact for our country, and you're losing a big portion of your workforce if you do not support women being able to stay in the workforce after their children are born.
Yeah, Rob Grunewald, I want to circle back with you, and then we're going to have to take a quick break. You have been arguing that investing in early child care, government investing, state and local government spending money on this, is a better economic investment than trying to lure corporate headquarters to your area or trying to build sports stadiums. I'm going to quote from your study again. You write, can new stadiums offer a comparable public return on investment as an early childhood development program? How does a new stadium reduce crime, increase earnings, and potentially break a chain of poverty? So, Rob, it sounds to me like you're arguing that we'd be better off building new child care centers than building a new stadium for the Minnesota Vikings or for the Milwaukee Bucks.
Well, back in 2003, that's exactly what Art Rolnick and I wrote. And we wrote it at a time that the state of Minnesota was looking at two sports stadiums for the Minnesota Twins, Minnesota Vikings. And we wanted to really get people thinking about, you know, where can public resources and also private-public resources put together produce a strong return on investment. And we argue that if we had taken those dollars for those stadiums, we could have an endowed fund in Minnesota providing scholarships to children who are just above the poverty line here for 2 years before they go to kindergarten with high-quality early childhood education and be able to recoup the return on those investments over years to come. As they say in economics, we're the dismal science. There's no free lunch. So it's, we, as policy makers, there's tough choices to be made, but we wanted to line up our early childhood with other types of investments that have been made with public dollars and really ask the tough question, where do you get the strongest return? We argue that early childhood is where you get a very high public return.
I'm Glenn Moberg. If you'd like to join the conversation, give us a call at 1-800-780-9742 or put a comment on the Route 51 Facebook page as we talk about a public forum called Baby Business, the dollars and cents of investing in working parents. It takes place the morning of February 10th at the UW Center for Civic Engagement on the UW Marathon County campus. Our guest today, Rob Grunewald, economist at the Federal Reserve Bank of Minneapolis, Kelly Borchard, the Executive Director of Child Caring Incorporated, and Laura Hunt, a young professional woman and parent. When we return, we will be joined by Jim McIntyre, the president and CEO of the GreenHeck Group. But first, here's Big Mountain.
Well, you crack the sky, the scrapers fill the air. But will you keep on building higher till there's no room up there? Will you tell us when to leave? Tell us when to die. I know we've come a long way. We're changing day to day. But tell me, where do the children play?
Contributors to Wisconsin Public Radio include Corey Smith Studios, Chippewa Valley Symphony, and Benjamin Farrow DDS. You too can help ensure the future of WPR programs for years to come. Find out more at WPR.org/sponsor. Support also comes from Christine Bremer-Moogley of the personal injury law firm Bremer & Trollope, committed to protecting the rights of accident victims throughout Wisconsin. Bremer & Trollope, because the right results matter most. Bremer-law.com.
It's a big job just getting by with 9 kids and a wife. But I've been working, man, dang near all my life, and I'll keep on working. Gotta buy my kids a brand new pair of shoes. I drank a little beer in a tavern, cry a little bit of these working man blues. Here comes that working man.
Merle Haggard's line, it's a hard job just getting by with nine kids and a wife. It takes us into our next segment of Route 51 as we continue our discussion of a public forum called Baby Business, the dollars and cents of investing in working parents, which takes place the morning of February 10th at the UW Center for Civic Engagement on the UW Marathon County campus. You can register on the website of the United Way of Marathon County or by calling them at 715-848-2927. That number again is 848-2927. Now, our guests today are Rob Grunewald, the economist at the Federal Reserve Bank of Minneapolis, Kelly Borchert, the executive director of Child Caring Incorporated, and Laura Hunt, a young professional woman and parent. And we are joined in this segment by Jim McIntyre, the president and CEO of the Greenheck Group, better known as the Greenheck Fan Company of Schofield. If you'd like to join the conversation, please give us a call at 1-800-780-9742 or put a comment on the Route 51 Facebook page. Jim, you're president and CEO of Greenheck. You spent 30 years in the commercial insurance industry. You're the former president and CEO of Wausau Insurance. Why is a guy like you interested in child care and early childhood development?
Well, Glenn, from the business standpoint, these young children that we're speaking about are the future employees of our business community, and they're also the future consumers of the products that we manufacture. So it's very important from our standpoint as business leaders to make sure that our children are well-educated in our communities.
What are you doing for the workers at Greenheck who have kids?
So at Greenheck, similar to many other employers in our community, we offer very competitive salaries and a benefit program, and specifically related to the to our employees, their spouses, and their children. We have one of the advantages we have is an on-site, low-cost health care facility so that our employees and their children can come on-site and visit a doctor or nurse, and it's very convenient, and it offers them a low-cost solution to health care. Other options that we have are, for example, tuition reimbursement to try and get the skills set up for all of our employees, whether they're in the shop or in the office. We really focus on that tuition reimbursement. And we also have, like many other organizations, we facilitate an employee-friendly opportunity where they can put pre-tax income into a fund to pay for child care and medical care expense so that by the time they pay that, they're not paying taxes on top of that. Some of that is pre-funded through pre-tax dollars. So those are a few of the issues. We have many other programs, but just to highlight some of those.
Do you think businesses and companies should even go so far as to provide child care on site, or is it more practical for them to have good working relationships with outside child care centers?
Yeah, our focus is to allow the professionals in that particular field to run those operations. Let the companies like ours focus on what we do well and allow the folks who are doing the child care and daycare facilities to focus on that. So it's not that's not an area of expertise for us. Obviously, we want to help facilitate that with a friendly work environment that our employees and their children are able to work to get to those facilities in a convenient manner.
Now, in many industries, we've got businesses that operate 24 hours a day. There are workers on shifts late at night when child care centers aren't even open. And you know, I'm not sure what the situation at Greenheck is, but in many businesses, those are often the lowest paid workers in society who can't afford child care for their kids. Comment on that, if you could.
Well, we run three shifts many days a week in our facilities here and around the world. And those the compensation that we have for those shifts are not at a lower rate than what we have for other shifts. Seniority certainly comes into play in that regard. So I wouldn't make a conclusion, or wouldn't come to a conclusion that they're lower paid employees in those shifts at all. And for sure, there's more challenges when you're on a second or third shift. Oftentimes, the other spouse is the one taking care of those children. But it is a definite challenge for those employees that are on those second and third shifts.
And we have seen people who say that it's important for businesses to offer flexible schedules, guaranteed paid leave, and unpaid continued leave with job security. In fact, Laura Hunt, you wrote that in an essay that was forwarded to me. Why don't you comment on that for us?
We certainly try to be as flexible as we can with all of our employees. In fact, when I talked earlier about competitive salary and benefit program at GreenHack, we want to be a preferred employer in all of our communities, and that means we want to attract some of the best employees in those communities. And the way you do that is by offering that competitive salary and benefit programs. And part of that benefit program is trying to be as flexible as you can with the workforce, because it is challenging with many families have two incomes, both parents are working, and in often cases single parents. So being flexible is a very important aspect of that, and we try and accomplish that here at GreenHack.
Yeah, I think it's very important for companies to be outspoken about their policies and about their willingness to support working families. When I think about good places to live and to go find a job, my husband and I certainly now, considering the sort of child care crisis we're in this country in terms of being able to find good care and afford it, a place where there is good childcare and a place where there are businesses that have family-friendly policies that are outspoken, that they talk about, so that you can go into a job and know, if I have to be at my child's doctor appointment, and let me tell you, in the first year of life, you are at the doctor almost every month just for a regular checkup. If you want to be there with your child, which I think most parents do in that first year of life, if you want to nurse, which is widely regarded as the number one best thing you can do for your child in the first year of life, if you want to be able to be with your child when they're sick, you need to know that you're working in an environment that supports you to do that without forcing you to choose between dropping out of your career completely or not being there for your children when they really, really need you, which is in those first few years. So I think that those kind of policies where businesses are able to not only institute them but talk about them, this is an issue that I think we need to talk about more broadly. That makes an attractive workplace for young working professionals, and I think Wausau has been dealing with this issue of retaining young professionals, and that could be a big part of this kind of solving the brain drain problem here.
Jim McIntyre, comment on what Laura Hunt just said.
Absolutely. So, for example, at GreenHack, what we've been able to offer is that on-site clinic where it's right on the campus here in Schofield, very convenient for the employee and their children to come on site. And again, the cost of that is at a convenient level for them as well. Related to the nursing mothers, we recently built a new facility, and we're receptive to that. We put in a new nursing room in that facility to allow the mothers to breastfeed their children or be prepared for that. In addition to that, not only at that age, but later on in the children's age, you know, we offer children scholarship programs or child scholarship programs so that they can get to university in a economic manner, and we also hire many of our employees' children to come in as summer employees to help offset the cost of schooling. So it's throughout the life of that child that we're, as an employer, trying to sponsor both the parents and the children, because as you can imagine, a more productive an employee who has young children is going to be more productive if they feel confident that their children are being cared for well while they're at work.
Now, Laura also mentioned the brain drain. Is this part of what businesses can do in order to attract and retain a high quality, high skilled workforce and not worry about having to lose them because they're going to quit and they're going to go someplace where they're being treated better?
Absolutely. That's part of the competitive nature of business. And for sure, the higher, the more education people have, the more, and I don't mean college degree by that in and of itself. It could be also technical training or skill training for other positions. So the more that these, we can keep that skills skill program and the education program at an early age, starting in those infant years, all the way up through high school, and if they choose to go on to college, the better prepared they are to come into the workforce, the better productive employees they'll be. And as our employee population is aging, and our unemployment rate drops, it is going to be more important for those that are in the in their early child years to be better educated and be prepared to come into the work environment.
Kelly Borchard, as the executive director of Child Caring Incorporated, somebody who provides referrals for people looking for child care, how typical is the attitude of Jim McIntyre at the Green Heck Fan Company? As far as other employers are concerned, do you find more and more businesses in the area are getting the message that they've got to take care of their employees, especially employees with young children, well?
I think so. I think a lot of the families that we talked with, I mean, obviously families need care when they're working. They talk with our agency, and I feel like the flexibility has to come from somebody, though. I mean, the child care providers aren't able to be open nights and weekends and things like that. And so, and they are also, it's difficult for child care programs not to charge families full time when they're not present. And so, you know, if they need to go for appointments or things like that, it's wonderful when the employers can have that flexibility for the families rather than putting it on the ends of the child care providers.
Rob Grunewald, how important is it to have the support of business leaders? We talk about providing child care for parents with young children, and a lot of people say, well, that's the government spending our tax dollars on that. How important is it to have a buy-in from the private sector?
Well, looking across communities and in different parts of the country where business leaders have been active in early childhood, communities have been able to help move this issue forward. For example, business leaders, you know, as Jim mentioned, are going to benefit in the long run. You know, their companies will benefit in the long run from these investments. And certainly, as their parent employees have access to quality child care, that helps those parent employees be more productive at the work site. What business leaders have been able to do is shine a light on the importance, especially the return on investment, to investments in early childhood. A group of business leaders in Minnesota back in 2006 raised $20 million to help test some different early childhood offerings here in the state of Minnesota to help this state move forward on its investments in early childhood. And some of the business practices that have been talked about so far for parent employees are just helpful so that parent employees can be productive at work but also be able to play their role as parents as best as they can as well.
Laura Hunt?
You know, I'm thinking as I'm listening to both Jim and Rob, we really need to go a step further, from my opinion, having been aware of this issue, I worked in the foster care population before moving to Wisconsin, and we started an entire initiative that was focused on children just 0 to 3. I worked for a legal services agency, and they actually opened an arm of lawyers that just worked on getting services for kids 0 to 3 that had been victims of abuse and neglect because they could reverse so many of the damages if they did the services in those years. So I had an awareness of the importance of this first 5 years concept in terms of brain development. And now as a parent, I'm seeing this from another side, both the importance of the first 5 years in a child's development as well as the challenges to find quality care that will nurture your children in those years and stimulate their development and find workplaces that will allow you to be with them. And I think my conclusion is that both the public and private sector need to go a step further. We do not have a lot of public policies supporting parents in this country. We don't have guaranteed paid maternity or paternity leave here. Most other industrialized nations do. And we don't have any subsidized child care for most working parents. So I think that businesses are doing a great job starting with some of these policies and initiatives, but we really need to go a step further because we really don't have any public protection for a lot of our parent workers, and I think we're really starting to see the effects of that now.
Jim McIntyre, comment on what Laura Hunt just said.
Well, one of the things that many of the employers in our community are involved with is United Way. We've really rallied around the United Way, and there's a lot of focus not only on the employer side, but with United Way, they're focused on the kindergarten readiness, the success in schools, partnership for youth, Ready for Read. And I happen to be on the board of directors of United Way, and one of the items that we've been really focused on from a board standpoint is to really focus on more prevention and as opposed to intervention, and we need to do both, but there's probably not a better way to address that whole matter of prevention than investing in the young, in early childhood development. And this, so I think there's a lot of business leaders very focused on this issue, and we're rallied behind the efforts of the United Way and other agencies as well. In addition to that, we part of the values that we have at Green Heck is giving back to our community, and many of the parents are working in the schools, and we support that as an employer in Ready to Read type programs and whatnot. So we're doing the best we can in a very competitive environment, and I think United Way is a great asset to us in this community.
Well, Jim McIntyre, you've just provided me with a great segue. We will be joined by Deanna Schutte of the United Way in our next segment. And if you'd like to join the conversation, give us a call at 1-800-780-9742. The subject today, a public forum called Baby Business, the Dollars and Cents of Investing in Working Parents, which takes place the morning of February 10th at the UW Center for Civic Engagement on the UW Marathon County campus. Rob Grunewald, economist at the Federal Reserve Bank of Minneapolis, is with us, as is Kelly Borchard of Child Caring Incorporated, and Laura Hunt, a young professional woman and parent. We're going to let Jim McIntyre, the president of the Green Heck Group, get back to work. And when we return, we will be joined by Deanna Schutte, the Community Impact Director of the United Way of Marathon County. But first, here's a song about babies by a musician we lost this past week, Paul Kantner.
There's an island way out in the sea where the babies, they all grow on trees. And it's jolly good fun to swing in the sun, but you gotta watch out if you sneeze, sneeze. Yeah, you gotta watch out if you sneeze, for swinging up there in the breeze. You're liable to cough, you might very well fall off and tumble down, flop on your knees, knees. Tumble down, flop on your knees.
Thank you to the business sponsors who help support WPR programs, including Overture Center for the Arts, Union Cab Cooperative, and Kimberly-Clark Corporation. Play a role in the success of WPR. Go to wpr.org/sponsor. Support also comes from Thimbleberry Books, Used and Unusual, located at 166 South Central Avenue in Marshfield, home to thousands of books and two cats. More at facebook.com/thimbleberrybooks.
A smiling face, a fireplace, a cozy room, a little nest that nestles where the roses bloom, just Molly and me, and baby makes three, we're happy in my blue.
That's a song recorded in 1927 by Gene Austin. Just Molly and Me and Baby Makes Three, as we continue our discussion of a public forum called Baby Business, the Dollars and Cents of Investing in Working Parents. It's happening February 10th in Wausau. Our guest today, Rob Grunewald, economist at the Federal Reserve Bank of Minneapolis, Kelly Borchard of Child Caring Incorporated, Laura Hunt, a young professional woman and parent. Thanks to Jim McIntyre of the Green Heck Group, who was with us in the last segment. And we welcome to our program now Deanna Schutte of the United Way. Deanna, 1927 was a much simpler time, and that idyllic image, Molly and Me, Baby Makes Three, and in our blue heaven, not exactly the reality for many working parents in the 21st century.
Hi, thanks so much for having us here today, Glenn, and drawing some community awareness to this priority in Marathon County.
And this has been a real focus of the United Way, early childhood care. You just published the 10th edition of a study of the situation in
Marathon County and in central Wisconsin regarding the overall quality of life in our area. It's called the Life Report. And early childhood development and child care is a priority for you once again. Talk about that.
Yep, you bet. So perhaps many of you are familiar that in our last Life Report release, one of our identified long-term calls to action was around this quality early life experiences for kids in our community as a really important building block when we think about community well-being moving forward. And in this last Life Report release, we included alongside of that considerations for mental health and substance abuse and income, all those contributing factors that we can't think about early life experiences isolated from how moms and dads are doing, how stable local families are, and what we can be doing as a community to come together, ensuring that families, whatever the context of those families include, that we really see this as an opportunity for all of us to come together and support.
How much of this is a function of private business and private community groups, and how much of it involves governments? And how realistic is it to get government to subsidize early childhood development when they're slashing budgets, slashing taxes, slashing services? They cut $250 million from the University of Wisconsin. You know, how are they going to come up with money for something else, for a new initiative?
So there are a lot of moving parts around this issue because it's considering, again, the multiple contexts of families and the different challenges they might be facing. I think when we think about this as a local community, and for me specifically in my role with United Way, we are fortunate to be able to see our private sector committed to thinking about the well-being of our community. And so, you know, at United Way of Marathon County, our board of directors and many committees and many volunteers demonstrate to us that everyone really sees their part in how they can be contributing to a better reality. So specific to the event that will be coming up next Wednesday, and when I think about the Marathon County Early Years Coalition, it really does demonstrate that this is about public and private sector commitments. So dollars that will be used to host this event were in part received through a grant from the state of Wisconsin. And we were one of six partnerships statewide to receive these monies, and they were intended to deepen the relationships between our public and private sectors to support early childhood.
Now, we had a number of callers on the line, but we've had such a jam-packed program today, I couldn't get to a lot of them, and I apologize to you. But one listener said he and his wife made the sacrifice years ago for mom to stay home with kids. They sacrificed much to do that. We had another caller who really supports what we're doing at this forum and what all of you are doing in terms of drawing awareness to the importance of child care. And Pat on Facebook asks if Kelly could comment on whether the Young Star program that rewards quality child care is still going strong and receiving the support it warrants from state lawmakers.
Yes, Young Star, like I mentioned, is in its fifth year this year in 2016. And the Wisconsin Department of Children and Families funds that about $6 million across the state of Wisconsin so that child care providers are able to have some on-site technical assistance and training to help improve quality, as well as receive microgrants for participation within that program. So I do believe it's going strong. It's supported by our governor and the government, and it's a great starting place.
Laura Hunt?
I just wanted to comment to one of the callers who had talked about the sacrifice he and his wife made to have the wife stay home with the children. That's a really, really wonderful choice if you can make that and if you would like to do that. I think what we're trying to do here is to give people as many options as possible when they're raising their kids. But the reality is, and we have to call a spade, most people do absolutely don't have that option. It's not an economic reality for them. And they are then forced to make very difficult decisions about who's going to care for their kids. And it's something we really need to face.
Rob Grunewald, unfortunately, we're out of time. You've got 15 seconds to kind of wrap things up and tell people that you're looking forward to seeing them in Wausau.
Yeah, definitely looking forward to seeing everyone next week. And we'll continue this discussion. We'll look really specifically at what these economic benefits are to investing in early childhood.
Teach your children well.
We want to thank today's guests, Rob Grunewald, economist at the Federal Reserve Bank of Minneapolis, also Kelly Borchard, Executive Director of Child Caring Incorporated, Laura Hunt, an independent communications and marketing consultant and the parent of two young children, Jim McIntyre, the President and CEO of the Greenheck Group, and Deanna Schutte, Community Impact Director of the United Way of Marathon County. The forum Baby Business, the Dollars and Cents of Investing in Working Parents, takes place the morning of Wednesday, February 10th on the UW Marathon County campus. You can register at the United Way of Marathon County website or by calling them at 715-848-2927. I'm Glenn Moberg. Thanks to our executive producer, Rick Ryer. Thanks to John Altenberg for the Route 51 theme. Special music by Big Mountain, Merle Haggard, Paul Kantner, Gene Austin, and Crosby, Stills, and Nash. Next week, our guest on Route 51 is Wisconsin's 3rd District U.S. Congressman Ron Kind. Thanks for riding along with us today. Forward, as we say in Wisconsin, and until next week, we're heading out of town. So please help them with your